Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study of the Wars of Antiochus, or as I am told by some, should be pronounced Antiochus, in Daniel chapter 11, verses 14 through 20. To some, the details of these Daniel 11 prophecies can become a bit tedious, but if you will remain focused on the amazing quality of these prophecies, with their detail and their accuracy, it serves to build and confirm our faith in the Bible as a book like no other. It would be like George Whitefield predicting the September 11, 2001 attacks, which he did not, but would have been an amazing enough prophecy if he had. And then going on to a detail of the subsequent events, like the invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan, Benghazi, and dozens of other details. Of course, no such prophecies like that were ever made, but could you imagine if they had? That is how amazing these Daniel 11 prophecies are, and the careful, serious Bible student will see and appreciate them for what they are. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study of Daniel chapter 11, verses 14 through 20, and the Wars of Antiochus, or Antiochus. This is part one of two.
Wars of Antiochus. The long title includes Betrayed by Cleopatra the First and Defeated by Rome. We'll get into that in just a minute. We'll open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. We're thankful for those able to be with us tonight, those joining online, those who will listen later on YouTube and sermon audio and on the radio station. Lord, we're just thankful for all those who hunger to learn your word. And we're thankful to have this facility to meet the technology and equipment we need to get the word out there for people who don't have a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. And we just ask, Lord, you help us as we study. Lord, we want to learn your word. And that sounds so basic, and yet is something that seems missing in so many lives. So many Christians never taking the time to learn your word. Very thankful for this little church family, folks who learn the Bible, love your words in this King James Bible. And it teaches us about Jesus, and we love Jesus. We're so thankful to be saved. We're so thankful to know we have eternal life and we'll be in his presence with the angels and all the saints in glory. And for all that, we thank you and ask for your help as we study. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're going to start with a current events update. I'm going to run quickly through these issues that sometimes we deal with, the in-house issues. And these are what we consider out-house issues. But they are issues that affect us or things that we need to understand so we know what's going on in the world where we live, and we can talk intelligently when talking to people. The first thing I want to say is, praise God, the Trump travel ban was upheld by the Supreme Court. No matter what you're hearing on your fake news media, Channel 4, 6, 28, and 10 here locally, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, no matter what you're hearing on those channels and on all these New York Times and all these other fake news websites, the president has the authority to do what needs to be done to protect the people of this country. Amen. And the Supreme Court, all they did was agree with the Constitution. And the four who didn't are traitors. Amen. Now, this is a picture that shows the countries on this travel restriction, is what they want it to be called. These countries are so out of control that they can't vet people. So Trump says, hey, unless or until we can know who you are, you can't come here. When you fix things and we know that you're not a terrorist, you don't have terrorist connections, terrorist convictions, etc., then you can come here. But until then, you can't. Now that's called common sense. Something that liberals lack. And it's not a Muslim ban. Venezuela and North Korea are not Muslim. And even these other countries, they aren't complete Muslim countries. There are people who are non-Muslims in those countries. And you don't see the other Muslim countries. Where's Iran? Right there. What's next to Iran? Iraq on one side, Jordan on the other. Below that, Saudi Arabia. None of them are on this ban. If it's a Muslim ban, they'd be on there too. So that's the kind of thinking we need Americans to think and realize they can't take what's being fed to them on the news media because it's lies. Also, praise God, the Supreme Court sided with the California, what the left-wing nuts call anti-abortion pregnancy centers. They're pregnancy decision centers, pregnancy crisis centers. They're places where women can go and not be talked into killing their baby. And California wanted to force these organizations to counsel women for abortion. They wanted to force it. And they call, I mean, what the audacity for them to call us Nazis. That's exactly what the Nazis would do. Force you into abortion. Here's another one. They credit Gorsuch with being the one that tipped the scale in the union cases. And what this is, when I worked for the state of Ohio, I was forced to pay union dues into a union that funded socialists, funded abortion rights activities, funded politicians who stood for things that I am against. This put an end to it. The NEA stands to lose huge numbers of members and huge amounts of money. And all they use that for is to continue to control our public schools and to teach a godless curriculum in our public schools and to use their money to elect godless politicians. That is a major change, and you can thank your president, Donald Trump. He's the reason Gorsuch is on the Supreme Court. Now, this was just announced today. Justice Kennedy is going to retire as of July 31st. And he's called a swing vote Supreme Court justice. He actually was conservative on a lot of things, but what he wasn't conservative on was social issues. I just want to make one clarification regarding the retirement of Justice Anthony Kennedy, and that is he's oftentimes called a swing vote. And if you look at his record, it comes down to this. He was basically a conservative who swung on social issues. So if President Trump is able to nominate someone who is not going to be a social activist judge like Kennedy was, then his replacement would be a good thing for constitutionalists, for real Americans, for people who aren't liberal traitors to this country. Anyone who loves our Constitution, and especially those who love biblical morality and American values, which are protected by our Constitution, then you will love the replacement for Kennedy if that replacement is a constitutionalist who is not a social activist. And that doesn't mean you'll agree with every decision he or she makes, but at least they won't be a spokesperson for perverts, the way Kennedy was. It comes down to Kennedy, who, by the way, was the reason we didn't have an Al Gore for president. We had George W. Bush in 2000.
He was the deciding vote.
He always seemed to side with the sodomites.
Justice Kennedy, however, joined with his liberal colleagues on an array of blockbuster rulings that will most define his legacy, and none more so than on gay rights. In 2015, he wrote the court's 5-4 ruling in Obergefell versus Hodges, establishing that same-sex couples have a constitutional right to marry. He also authored decisions that struck down a U.S. law denying federal benefits to legally married same-sex couples, and a Texas statute that made it a crime for two people of the same sex to engage in intimate sexual activity. Again, all of that from the Wall Street Journal.
So there you go. If you want to know why sodomites are a recognized minority in this country, that reprobate pervert is the person you have to thank. If you want to know why your health insurance rates are going through the roof, it's because due to this so-called swing voter, he's a sodomite voter is what he is. He made sure that your health insurance had to pay for every sodomite and his sex partner. All their STDs, all the damages from domestic violence, all the psychotherapy and counseling and drug overdose treatments and drug therapies, etc., and so on, that's bankrupting our healthcare system, you can thank that reprobate right there. And, of course, sodomite marriage in America. You can thank him. So, that's why when you see your left-wing nutcase relatives, neighbors, co-workers going absolutely bananas in an attempt to try to block the Trump nominee to replace him, that's why. Liberals are reprobates. Liberals love Sodom. And that's why liberals love this guy, even though he did so many things for the conservative cause on other matters. Just letting you know, that's what's going on. That's the real world. I don't know who that guy is, but don't you love that shirt? I won't get me one of those. But that's it. I just made that video earlier and uploaded it and wanted you to see that. That's what's going on. A lot of people don't know that Kennedy's the reason why those things are legal now, why they are law. He was a wicked man, and just pray he repents before he dies, because he's going to split hell wide open. It's a hot place in hell for Anthony Kennedy if he doesn't get saved. All right, let's get into our study. Wars of Antiochus, betrayed by Cleopatra I and defeated by Rome. We left off verse 13, and I by no means am going to review all that. Go back and see that, watch that online if you missed it. But these prophecies take place during the so-called silent years. How many of you know that 400 years there was no prophet? There were no Bible books written between the close of your Old Testament and the appearance of John the Baptist. He was the first prophet. He was the first prophet to come after this 400-year silent period, and he was the last Old Testament prophet. In our previous study, we charted verses 1 through 13. Here's the chart. And by the way, we put that online if you're out there in the super cyber highway on the interwebs and you want to download this chart. It's on you go to bbfohio.com under resources and charts, and then you just look for this one, and there's a dozen or more charts for your use. Download them free of charge. And we covered from 529 to 200 BC. We're going to slow things down in this study. We're not going to go quite that far and that fast, but that was the previous study there in the previous chart. We pick up at the end of the Ptolemaic Seleucid Wars around 200 BC. There is war again in Israel, but they're caught between two haters. You heard the song, "Torn Between Two Lovers." Well, this was "Stuck Between Two Haters, Living Like a Fool." And But this, let me tell you, this study is one, and I'm not trying to, you know, make you think too highly of yourself or anything, but this is a study that not very many Christians will ever sit still for. Because I'm not going to be talking about, you know, all the frilly things and telling you, you know, all these... And there's nothing wrong with those studies. We've had them ourselves. There's a lot of wonderful things in the Bible that are exciting and all that. These studies are more academic. But to the person who will sit still and study these verses, they will grow in their faith in the Word of God like no others. Those others who won't sit through these studies. Because when you take all this in, and then you maybe even go back and read it again on your own, and you realize God gave all this information to Daniel before it happened. I mean, we talked about the 70th week prophecy, and we talk about a lot of other prophecies, but man, these right here, it's just amazing. No other book like it on the planet. The one, that book you've got right now, that King James Bible, is like no other book on the planet. And your God is the only true God. Those other books are not like this book because the gods who claim to write them are fake. We got fake news where we got fake gods. Now we looked at this, the way the empire is divided, and I've got Seleucus and Ptolemy kind of bolded because they're the two main characters here. And if you can see right there, there are faint looking arrows. And look where they're meeting. In Israel. See? I mean, that's what... But they brought this on themselves. Keep that in mind. The reason why God is silent in Israel right now is because of apostasy. Sadly, America is following suit today. God will only, I believe, will only bless a nation whose God is the Lord. And if they will continue to bless Israel. We also had this map where we showed Gaza was the specific point where some of these battles took place between the king of the south, the Ptolemies, and then up here in Syria, the king of the north. And those were the Seleucid kings. So let's read verse 14 in Daniel 11. Read that with me. And in those times there shall many stand up against the king of the south. Also the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision. But they shall fall. Now more than two of you are going to have to read with me. Because... But let's let Larkin explain things again. Among the many that stood up against the infant king. Now listen to this. It's interesting. Trust me. The many that stood up against the infant king of the south was Philip, king of Macedon, who entered into a league with Antiochus to divide the kingdom of Ptolemy, Epiphanes, between them. What's interesting about that? Ptolemy the fifth was named Epiphanes. He's 4 years old. You talk about picking on somebody your own size. They're picking on a four-year-old. And see, this Antiochus says, "Hey, Philip, you want to go beat up on a four-year-old?" That's what happened. And that's in Egypt. And Egypt itself was also a seething pot of sedition because people are thinking, we can probably take this place over. There's a four-year-old on the throne. But he had a... You know, he had advisors around him and, you know, it's kind of like what we had with Obama. Yeah. And there were wicked Jews in Palestine who hoped to gain the favor of Antiochus. Now, you all remember that? I always tell everybody, we're pro-Israel and we're pro-Jew. But we still know there are some wicked Jews out there. The mayor of Chicago, for example, Rahm Emanuel, wicked. There's all kinds of wicked Jews. But that doesn't mean you just turn on all Jews and turn against Israel and you let God deal with those people. I mean, if they break a law, call the police and let them deal with them. Amen? But otherwise, that's what they're dealing with here in Palestine, which is Israel, who hope to gain favor with Antiochus. They were called robbers in your text because by their conduct they made it hard for their brethren and thus established the vision or prophecy of suffering for Daniel's people during those times. Antiochus turned against these robber Jews and thus caused them to fall. This verse was fulfilled in the wars of Antiochus that followed. You'll see that over and over. You'll see these Jews who kind of helped people like they did Lenin, the Bolsheviks. There were a lot of Jews involved in that. But then they ended up getting, and sent to Siberia if they weren't killed. And that's happened over and over throughout history. So the prophecies fulfilled during the wars of Antiochus the Great is what we're studying now. In verses 14 through 20, these are the prophecies fulfilled during the wars of Antiochus the Great. So in verse 15 and 16, it says, "So the king of the north shall come," that's in Syria, the Seleucid, "and cast up a mount and take the most fenced cities. And the arms of the south shall not withstand, neither his chosen people, neither shall there be any strength to withstand. But he that cometh against him shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him, and he shall stand in the glorious land," that's Israel, "which by his hand shall be consumed." So he's going to basically take Israel from the Ptolemies. That's Antiochus the Great, Cotton, king of the north, succeeded in defeating Ptolemy Epiphanes, the little boy, king of the south, Cots. And so, in so doing, took control of Israel. That's all that text is telling you there. Now, Ptolemy Epiphanes at this time is a grand old age of 7. So we continue, and the first part of verse 17 says, "He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do." That's Antiochus, king of the north. He approaches Epiphanes, who is in Egypt, the little boy, in strength, but then he decides to resort to diplomacy. The reason is because if you check your calendars, you'll see that this is about the time another country starts to rear its head. Who do you think that is? We've already seen the end of Alexander the Great. Who do you think is starting to show up in history at the same time of what were around the 190s BC? Rome. So this is, he sees Rome getting involved and growing, and he says, okay, we could probably take Egypt, but Rome's not going to let us do that. Not without a fight, and he was far away from home and wasn't sure he would be able to defeat them. So he resorts to diplomacy. Now, how many of you have studied history when you see there's diplomacy between empires and monarchies? What does that usually involve? Marriage. Unholy matrimony. Most of the time it's unholy. And that's the case. Well, like when we talk Laodice and Bernice. Bernice, you want to call it? That was a really very unholy situation that we read about and studied last week. So from history, we know that Antiochus was trying to avoid bringing Rome into the conflict. And that's why he resorted to... Now, remember, Daniel's telling people this. Antiochus, he's older than Epiphanes, Ptolemy the Fifth. But he ain't even born yet when Daniel's writing this. Daniel's writing this 400 years before it happened. It'd be like Christopher Columbus, or have to go a little bit later than Columbus maybe, but we'll go ahead, that's close. We'll say it this way. It'd be like Christopher Columbus prophesying about the Civil War and Abe Lincoln and Jefferson Davis. That's the equivalent. If Christopher Columbus had prophesied about our war between the states, or what we like to call down south, the invasion. And he'd prophesied about Abe Lincoln and Jefferson Davis and maybe thrown in a Stonewall Jackson and a Ulysses S. Grant and a Robert E. Lee for good measure. That's the equivalent of what we're reading here. So enter, for the sake of diplomacy, unholy matrimony, Cleopatra I of Syria. Not to be confused with Mark Antony's Cleopatra VII, born in Egypt. Descendant, but not the same Cleopatra. But she was still pretty, I think. I mean, that is a stone. I mean, it's not like it's a picture. So verse 17 ends by saying, here's where Cleopatra enters. And he shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her, meaning he's using her in an unholy matrimony situation. But she shall not stand on his side, neither for him, as the sand through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. That's where they get these plots. Yeah, they go back to these ancient texts in the Bible and find all this stuff. So Daddy has your stomach turns. That's good. Daddy sets Cleopatra up with little boy Epiphanes. About 7 years old. She's young, but she ain't that young. But it's for political reasons. And, well, you know what's crazy? She falls in love with the kid. And she becomes a loyal, faithful wife. And tells Daddy to take a hike. Now, she did the right thing, biblically. When you get married, your husband is a Christian and a Bible believer and follows the Word of God, you are to leave mother and father and cleave unto your husband. And so, in a biblical way, she was doing the right thing because Epiphanes was just being a good king and trying to defend his country of Egypt, and Daddy was doing bad things. Bad Daddy. Antiochus arranged the marriage between his teen daughter Cleopatra and Ptolemy V, Epiphanes, at the age of 7. The marriage was consummated when Ptolemy V, Epiphanes, was not yet 12 years old. So there you go, just a little history there. Clarence says, Larkin that is, says, the words corrupting her refer to Antiochus' scheme to get her to play into his hands rather than into the hands of her husband. But the plan failed. Cleopatra not only took sides with her husband, but even joined him in sending congratulations to the Romans on their victories over her father. Daddy's plan backfired, just like Daniel said it would 400 years before it happened. See, that's the exciting part. You know, when you read what it says, and I'm not going to pretend that I understood what this meant the first 20 times I read it. But as you read it and you do some research and you read it and you research, you learn, you take notes, you learn a little more. Then you get Clarence Larkin's book and you're like, wow, why didn't I just do that in the first place? But anyway, you know, you learn these things, and if you're just learning them to learn things, that's useless. But when you're learning these things and you're sitting there thinking, God is so awesome, and our God isn't just asking us to take a blind leap in the dark. He has said that He would tell us the future before it happened, and that's how we'd know.